I believe we're in a funny time right now, and I just kind of want to address the time I think we're in. We're in a time where people really don't understand, and it's subtle, but it's not so subtle as far as the church and the world systems being in a situation where it's kind of going head to head. I know we talk about the social distancing. I know we talk about those things, and that makes sense. And that makes sense that you should have the social distance. You should be safe. You should walk in caution, but not fear. But the undertones of the coronavirus to me is just a spiritual warfare that we're going in, because it is definitely attacking the fabric of the church, as far as one can say a thousand flight, two can say 10,000, things of that nature. But someone sent me a three-second clip that it just, to me, it just shows where the world is going and how the world is thinking. And I'm just going to play that clip, and I'm going to go into just a candid conversation on some practical things that we need to do as a church. But I just wanted to go ahead and throw, first of all, before I even get into that, I need you all to know that we are a church. Brother Esmond, help me out in a minute. We are a church that do some things that are sometimes just practical, because Jesus Christ was a practical person. But on Thursday night, put that up for me, we're going to have a conversation with Congressman Bobby Scott through the NAACP to talk about different ways that you can thank you so much, Brother E. You're so cool. To talk about different ways that we can get help for relief for the coronavirus. We're going to talk about voting, because there's a situation going on about voting. We're trying to figure out exactly when we will vote. We don't want to suppress people's voting, but we're going to talk about that a little bit. So we don't know if we're going to vote in June, if we're going to delay things in November. We're going to bring that out. And Delegate Shelley Simon, she will also address that as well on Thursday. So we are a church that believes that you're supposed to be a part of the marketplace and a part of politics. We're also going to talk about healthcare during this crisis. We're going to talk about small business and unemployment loans and grants, because the loan will actually turn into a grant the loan will turn into a grant as long as you begin to produce the paperwork that you need to in order to show exactly how you're using the money. Of course, you're going to be using the money for your family and for your pertinent needs, because you can't be open. So barbers and nail technicians and hairstylists, you would definitely want to be on this call on that day. We're going to talk about churches and nonprofit payment and protection plans as far as taking care of your staff. So we all talk about that on that Thursday, because we are a church that believes you need to be a part of the marketplace. All right, we can go to the next slide for the COVID-19, Brother E, so they can see where they can call in to on tomorrow. And so he's going to put that slide up so you all can see exactly where you can dial in to and be able to right here. Okay, well, anyway, I'll make sure that we text it out there, but the call-in number you see is up here, 978-990-5479. The access code is 38976, and I will make sure that you have the computer access link. I will make sure we shoot that out later. Thank you so much, Brother Ian and Brother Nico. We're going to talk about that on Thursday, because we want to make sure that we do what? Practical things. We are a practical church that believes in practical things, because Jesus always said, do practical things. James says what? He says, look, if your neighbor hungry, feed him first, because he's not going to listen to you about the gospel if you don't feed him. But there's a clip that I saw today. It's only 3 seconds long, and I'm going to go ahead and play that clip for me so I can just let you all know. I want you all to see this clip.
The number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Fate did not do that. Destiny did not do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that.
right? That's all I wanted to say. Now, we think that we're not in the time where we're actually in a war with the world system than the church. It's subtle, undertone, but that right there, blatant. You understand? God didn't do that. I'm saying we did that. God didn't do that. Faith didn't do that. Destiny didn't do that. God says if our people humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and call to him, he will heal our land. Yes, faith without works is what? Dead. But at the end of the day, God is the one that gives you the power to obtain wealth. God is the one that gives you the knowledge on how to cleanse, to how to heal people with medicine and surgery and all that. It's God who guides your hand. Now, God can use who he chooses. He even used Judas as an instrument, even though Judas sent him to the cross. He used Judas as an instrument to make sure that he ushered Jesus to the way he needed to be, to make sure he died on Calvary for us. So at the end of the day, we do understand that God uses people. But at the end of the day, to blatantly say, God didn't do something, God didn't do this, God didn't do that, you're trying to act like that you are the author and finisher of our faith and not God. Amen. God's the author and finisher of your faith, not your fate, but your faith. He's the author and finisher of your faith, because at the end of the day, God is always in control. But right now, we're living in a time where people are feeling that the church is not essential. The church does not have the power. Yes, 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 you can have church anywhere, but most of the people that talk about it, people that don't go to church know how. So at the end of the day, what I'm trying to say is this. I'm not trying to say go and pack up the church, but what I am saying, don't. We're trying to act like God is out of the equation. So when you start allowing people to push churches and push kingdom-minded people and push bishops and push people into a corner, and you allow it to happen without any type of resistance, then you're not doing your job as a kingdom disciple. So this is what I'm saying. I'm not fussing about, talking about forsaking out there some of yourselves together. I'm not talking about piling up in a building. We pretty much empty here. We got four people in here who helping me run this situation, and that's it. That's the only people that are in here in this particular room right now. But I need you to understand that until we begin to understand that God is in control, some things still are going to continue to happen in this world until the church and the priests and the bishops and the apostles and the disciples and the deacons and the Christians and whoever you are when you say you represent Christ begin to let the world know that God is in control and he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the author and finisher of your faith. That's what he does, okay? Now let's go into this. I'm going to kind of talk about some things that we talked about on Sunday, and for people that have questions, you can chime in. But I need you to understand, I just want to kind of go over, because one pastor called me and he said I needed to go over some of the things I talked about in my sermon on Friday and Sunday, because he said sometimes it's good to talk about those things that you've already talked about and preached about, because sometimes people don't understand everything that you're talking about. And I began to talk about on Sunday, we talked about We talked about Pesach, all right? Pesach, we talk about the meaning of the word Passover. And the reason why I began to talk about that is because I believe we are in Passover time, all right? We are in Passover. Well, I ain't believe. We are in Passover, and I believe at this time, the church needs to recognize what season we're in. We're in a season where people are overtly disrespecting the power of God. Let me just stop saying church so people can stop thinking I'm talking about a building. When I say the church, I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about a people. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about those who believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. So let's just talk about when people try to negate the power of Jesus Christ and God. That's what's going on right now, okay? Now, they have people assembling, and we've had police officers and nurses assembling and making sure they comfort each other. And I understand that we need to do certain things like that because it brings up morale. Nobody talked about that negatively. Why? Because it wasn't the church. What is happening is an upfront attack, a front attack on the church right now. But when we begin to look at the word Passover, we begin to look at Leviticus 23. And it always talked about the seven feasts that we talked about on Sunday, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, the Feast of Harvest, the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles. We talked about all those different feasts because those feasts were done to do what? In order to let God know that we're thinking about you, in order to take a break and to say we honor you, God, and we thank you for everything you've done, and to make sacrifice to make sure that God understood and people understood that we knew that God is in charge, okay? So right now, what I'm saying is we don't need those feasts anymore. We don't need the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We don't need the Feast of Passover. We don't need all those things anymore. Why? Because we have Jesus Christ. We don't need a turtle dove. We don't need pigeons, all right? We don't need rams and bullocks. We don't need those things in order to sacrifice because Jesus became the propitiation for our sin. He became the antidote. He became everything we needed in order to be freed from the clutches of sin. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who died on the cross. He's the perfect sacrificial lamb. The amazing thing is about it is this. Jesus did not sin, therefore he should not have done what? Died. The wages of sin is what? Death. And so when Peter began to realize that Jesus was going to go to the cross, and if he died and had not sinned, he would break the law on Jesus and usher in grace. That's why he came through Peter and said, Peter, and Peter said, no, don't go to the cross. And Jesus said, what? Get ye behind me, Satan. Why? Because he tried to reduce Jesus down for him to messiahship because he did not want Jesus to go to the cross because the wages of sin is death. And if you do not sin, you should not die, which means if Jesus never would have went to the cross, he never would have died, but none of us would have been able to go to heaven because the law would have never been broken on him. God is the same today, to tomorrow, yesterday, and forever. Why? Because God's principles never change. His methods do, but his principles never change, but he allowed Satan to break the law on Jesus. So now Jesus, being an innocent lamb, not only is he a lamb, but he's also what? A priest. He's a priest. And so this is the amazing thing about the situation, guys. This is the amazing thing about the situation. When Jesus was on the cross, first of all, it was amazing that Jesus was even born of a woman, right? He was born of a woman. Why? The reason why he was born of a woman was to make sure that he was born in this natural place, in this time and space. Why? Because he who was not entered through the what? The gate has only come to do what? Kill, steal, and destroy. What is the gate? The gate is a woman. The gate is the womb. So if you haven't entered into this dimension through the womb, you are what? Illegal here. That's why angels say in Hebrews, what is man that you're mindful of him or her? Because you made them the, everything to be subject under their feet, yet they don't walk with everything subject under their feet. Which means what? The angels are jealous because God has given us all this power, but we don't walk in the power he gave us. He gave us all the power, all dominion, but we don't walk in it, and we have the freedom of choice, and angels don't have a choice. They got to do whatever God says, and so the angels in Hebrews said, what is man that you're mindful of him, that you made all this, you gave them all this power, yet they don't walk in the power? What in the world are they? How do they have all this favor? You have this anointing, you have this power, but you do not walk in this power that I've given you. That's what the angel that God has given them. That's what the angels are saying. They're upset. And so now here we are, have all this dominion because Jesus was born of a woman. He was not entered through the gate, has only come to kill and destroy. What? Satan was what? Cast down. Which means he's a fallen angel. And angels, even though they submitted to God, they still hearken to the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord can be in your mouth. So even when you begin to speak in authority, angels come for you. Remember Daniel was praying? Oh, this is good stuff right here. The reason when Daniel was praying and the angel said, I was coming to get you the minute you prayed, but I was caught up for 21 days with the prince of Persia. I was caught up in the second heaven trying to get down here, but the prince of Persia held me up. So he sent Michael, he sent the warrior angels to come free me up so I could come here. But the minute you set your face to be with God, I was already dispatched, but I couldn't get there because I was held up. So there's a power and there's a fight going on in the spiritual realm, but the church folk don't want to understand it. We just want to read the little elementary Sunday school things, and we don't want to understand that that we fight against principalities from high places. That's why our weapons are not carnal, but a spiritual, for the casting down the strongholds of vain imaginations and anything that exalted itself against the armies of the living God. That's what we don't want to touch. We think hell is down here. We know hell down there. We think devil in hell right now. The devil is not in hell. He's in the second heaven. And in the beginning, when you look in Genesis, he said all these things were good. All these things were good. But when he talked about the firmament, he said he didn't say it was good. Why? Because that's where the demons were. The third heaven was. In fact, let me go find this so people won't think I'm just crazy. The third heaven. I need you to see this. Let me see sound. Let's give me a second. I'm gonna get to it in a minute. I'm gonna get to it. I just want to make sure. And in Genesis 1:7-8, and God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. He didn't say it was good. He didn't say it was good. Why? He didn't say it was good because that's not something that he really, that's something where he separated the demonic spirits. See, let me just explain this to you. See, there's three heavens. And because remember Paul said, I was called in the third heaven. The first heaven right above you right in this atmosphere. The second heaven is where the demons are and the devil is. And the third heaven is where God is. The third heaven, you can't loose God. God don't need to be loose, and you can't bind God, can you? But he said those things that are bound on earth is bound what? In heaven. He's talking about the second heaven. He's talking about where the demons and the principalities are. And the problem is the people of the world, the politicians sometimes, they ain't talking about everybody, but the people of the world, the people who don't believe in God begin to tap into the demonic power, and we don't even walk in the power we need to walk in. Just keeping it 100. All right, you have a power that the angels were jealous of. You are jealous because you have this power that you can walk in, but you don't walk in it. Now, look at this. Back to what I was saying. So now you can bring all this demonic power under the submission for you because your weapons are not carnal, but are spiritual, for the casting down of strongholds and vain imaginations and anything that exalted itself against the armies of the living God, right? This is what you deal with. You have the power of Jesus Christ in you. Greater is he who was what? In you than he was in the world. So now Jesus was born of a woman. God, I forgot where I was, because if you're born of a woman, you have legal authority. And the thing about it is, it says if you're born, you're born into sin. But Jesus wasn't born into sin. Why? Because the woman's blood doesn't mix with the baby. The only blood that mixed with the baby is the father's blood. Your father determines what sex you are, because he's going to either be an X chromosome or a Y chromosome that hits you. If it's an X, you're going to be a girl. If it's a Y, you're going to be a man, a male. So you understand what I'm saying? So your father's blood is the only blood that mixes. So when God had Jesus be born of a virgin, the only DNA that hit Jesus was God's. Because women have inside of them this wonderful thing. When they begin to get pregnant, they have a placenta, and the placenta separates the baby and protects the baby from all outside entities except the sperm and the blood of the father that begins to unite and give the DNA to the baby. So when Jesus was born, Emmanuel, God was with us, he was not born in sin because his mother blood doesn't contain him. So the problem is who? The father, because that's the only blood that mixes with the baby. So now the Jesus is born Emmanuel. God is with us, 100% divine and yet 100% human. And now he came out Emmanuel. God is with us. And every time the devil tried to kill him, he tried to kill him. And when he was only 2 years old, he tried to kill him. And he sent everybody to Bethlehem to kill every child that was 2 years or younger. But the thing about God is he hid Jesus right in Egypt the same way he hid Moses. Sometimes God will hide you in some mess. Sometimes God will hide you in Egypt and you don't even know you hid. And the devil don't even know you hid. And some of y'all been hid in prostitution. Some of y'all been hid in alcoholism. Some of y'all been hid in lying and cheating. And the devil don't even know how powerful you are. And you've been hidden all this time. But God is hiding you in Egypt the same way he hid Moses, the same way he hid Jesus. And so now Jesus is hiding right under Pharaoh's nose. But he's the Messiah. And everybody's looking for the Messiah. But Jesus is right there hiding in Egypt. And sometimes God will hide you in your mess. Your misery will become your ministry. Oh, it's funny. I didn't even know what I was going to talk about. But we make sure we get this right for the broadcast because God going somewhere. This is going to be the next one after we do the one we talked about on Sunday. But this is what I need you to tell you. That Jesus came out Emmanuel. And then he walked around us for 33 years. Of course, went up the way of Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering. And they put nails in his hand. But the only reason they put nails in his hand because he allowed them to. One time they was trying to crucify Jesus and Jesus teleported like Captain Kirk and they couldn't get him. And he teleported because he said it's not his time. But let's talk about this being on the cross because I don't want to be in here too long. When Jesus was on the cross, he didn't need anybody to come saving. He just was going and saying whatever was fulfilling scripture. Okay? And the amazing thing about it is when they had a chance to put somebody else out to be crucified, they didn't take him because they wanted Jesus, but they thought it was on them. No, first of all, Jesus was a high priest, and Jesus said, don't get it twisted, no man take my life, I do what? Lay it down. So Jesus was offering himself. Him being Emmanuel, God is with us, was giving us a spiritual sacrifice to reconcile God to man. Oh, yeah, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I'm going somewhere. But then Pontius Pilate, what did he do? He washed his hands. I'm not killing an innocent man. It's on you. I tried to let y'all send a murderer, but you want to send him? I washed my hands of this. I ain't got nothing to do with it. This is who y'all asked for. I gave y'all about Jesus. I gave y'all the worst criminal of all, and y'all want to send it to him? It ain't me. And he washed his hands. Why did he wash his hands? Because only a high priest can offer a sacrifice, not a Roman. Oh, y'all don't hear me. So the high priest of the world said, gave his assent, and it changed it from a execution to a crucifixion. Because the worldly priest gave his assent, so now it's not a murder, it's a crucifixion, it's a sacrifice, because the high priest of the world is who offering Jesus, not the Roman. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. So now Jesus has been offered up by a man. Now man is being what? Reconciled to God because the high priest has put a perfect high priest on the cross. So now the worldly man, the world part of Jesus, the human side of Jesus has been put on the cross by a man priest. And now the spirit of Jesus has been put on the cross by the high priest himself, which is God Emmanuel. So God has been reconciled to us through Jesus the priest on the spiritual side, and man has been reconciled to God from Jesus the human side. Both are perfect without sin, so now they reconcile us together. And God did all this to make sure Satan couldn't act like you were guilty of anything. Why? So now when you go to heaven on your last day, don't you lie. They say, did you do it? Tell the truth, because Jesus was sacrificed for you. So now you don't have to go get a turtle dove. Now you don't have to go get a rabbit. Now you don't have to go get a bullock. You don't have to go get a lamb, because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for you. Everything about the Godhead bodily was enrobed in Jesus, and he went to the cross both as a man priest and a spiritual priest, and he reconciled God to man and man to God and brought us together. That's why, again, he was stretched wide to the left and to the right, one hand reaching to the Old Testament down from the thief who was accusing him of being guilty, and the right, which represents grace, and the thief on the right that said, I want to be with you. And then Jesus said, you'll be with me in paradise. And they crossed his legs and put the nail through both of his legs with one nail. Why? To show us that he reconciled God to man, Jew to Gentile, Old Testament to New Testament, because he's intertestamental, he's spiritual, and he's human, and he's a Palestinian Jew. He's a half-breed. That's why they said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? So he was part Gentile and Jew and reconciled everybody together. Y'all don't hear me? Y'all don't know he walked down the genealogy of a whoremonger like David. He walked down the generations of a prostitute like Rahab. Come on, somebody. He came through wisdom, though, with the lineage of Solomon. Huh? He came through the humanness of a man named Joshua. He came through. He walked down 40 and two generations. We say it all the time, but do we really understand what we're talking about? He walked through all these generations to make sure he could talk to all mankind. Nazareth and is the lowest part of the Jew of Israel. Why? He was born in the lowliest place because he had already walked down from the highest place, walked from divinity all the way down to make sure he went from divinity through the angels, through aristocrats, and down to the poor folk. And in the midst of it, he was a half-breed Jew, a Palestinian Jew, to make sure that he could reconcile all people together. God went through all this legalistic stuff to make sure the devil can't act like he can claim your soul. So he did everything in the spirit and the natural to reconcile together. He didn't mix the woman. He didn't mix the man's human blood with him, because why? If he was born of a virgin, that means no blood from no human touched him, because the only blood that touches a baby is the man's blood. Remember all them time the kings would be putting their women to death because they couldn't get them a male child, but it was really their fault? It ain't got nothing to do with the woman, it's you. You're born in sin because your daddy is sinful. Your mama messed up too. But you were born in sin because your father's blood mixed with you, not your mama's. And so he made sure he handled everything legalistically. He walked in blamelessness. He walked as a human, but he didn't have a sin. So he was able to be sacrificed as a perfect lamb and a priest, because he had no sin. And he was still the high priest of all high priests from heaven. So he was one. God went through all this stuff for you to make sure the devil, you know how people always try to blame you and get you caught up in something, but you always got an answer for them sometimes, and you got it, and then can't nobody really trap you. Every now and then you might not have all the answer, but God handled every single thing in your life to make sure couldn't nobody blame you about nothing, even though you sinful, even though you mess up, even though you fall short of the glory of God. God went through all that stuff just so you could have everything together. He walked down 40 and 2 burning to generation, enrolled himself in the flesh just to make sure that you was all right. And he, oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. I don't know why I'm teaching so hard today, because I ain't even feel like doing it. I was going to even get Brother Eric to teach, but there's a spiritual move in the world, and I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that we're not in a fight. If you don't understand we're in a fight, you're not a kingdom-minded person, you silly Christian, you. Man, just been on TV. Everybody talk about how good he was doing. Now you gonna sit there and act like God ain't doing this? Yeah, you got some skill set, but when you begin to say God didn't do something, that's pretty blank. See, I got a problem with everybody. I got a problem with the Democrats and I got a problem with Republicans. I got a problem with everybody. We all messed up. Republicans don't see nothing wrong with racism. Democrats don't see nothing wrong with abortion. Everybody got something wrong with them. You can back a racist no matter what he say, because he say he don't believe in this. But you do know he used to be a Democrat, but I'm just going to leave it alone. But what I'm trying to let you is, I'm trying to get my Christian brothers and sisters to understand what you're going through. God went through all this stuff to reconcile you. I was watching this crazy show that I probably shouldn't have been watching. It's called 000, and they'll have a scene happen, and then they'll come back and reconcile the scene so you can see what happened before. And what you need to understand is God said Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the world. So the problem is you already redeemed. See, have you ever been looking for your phone and your phone was in your hand? Have you ever been looking for that? Or looking for your glasses and your glasses on your face? Have you ever done that before? Looking for your keys and they're in your pocket? You ever done that? But it's already there. It's hard to find something that's already there. And you already redeemed, but you keep looking for your redemption. You already healed, but you keep looking for your healing. Instead of saying, by his stripes, I'm already healed. You're looking for something you already got. That's why you can't find it. It's already on your face. You already been redeemed by Jesus. You already been reconciled by him. He went through all these scientific troubles, making sure a human blood didn't mix with him, making sure he didn't making sure that he knew that that's why he picked the virgin woman and not a man, because he knew the placenta would protect the baby from all outside entities. Ooh. He went through all that stuff just to make sure you was all right. Then became sin. So you won't have to worry about looking for a bullock or a ram. He became every sin that you'd ever commit to make sure he had you covered. He became all sin. God turned his back on his own son just to make sure that you was all right. And he'll turn his back on you, but you covered by the blood. Can I tell you something? If God turned his back on Jesus when he became sin, he'll definitely turn his back on you. That's why you need to be covered by the blood of Jesus. I know I'm messed up. I know I fall. I know I ain't right. I know I ain't perfect. But I'm covered by the blood of Jesus just like you, if you say. But I need y'all to stop. See, this is the problem with the church. The problem with the church is only thing we want to do is say he rose on the third day. He stayed in the grave all day Friday, Saturday, early in the morning. He got up with all power in his hand. Yeah, he did. But when he got up, what did he give you? He get up every Sunday in the Baptist church. Every Sunday he get up. He already up. But when he got up, what are you walking in? What authority are you walking in? What power are you walking in? Church, wake up. You in the middle of a war and don't even know it. You ain't got to be no prophet to see that. You just need to be able to discern the time. Let he who have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. See, this happened while men slept. An enemy sowed tares amongst the wheat while we slept, and we've been asleep. The church just not getting on the internet with your backward self. Some people been calling Facebook the devil for a long time. Now you're looking for the devil to help you in Facebook, because the devil don't own nothing. The problem is the church step out of it and don't take territory from the devil. You know what's wrong with the church? We always on the defense and never on the offense. You know they say defense wins games, and I know defense do win games, but Peyton Manning will tell you this. You can't win if you don't score. And you're supposed to be kicking in the gates of hell. You're going to be kicking in the gates of the schoolhouse. You're going to be kicking in the gates of the jail. You're going to be kicking in the gates of the internet, Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat. The reason why so much foolish is on there is because the church let the devil have the territory. Now you want to get on it now because you ain't got no other choice.
Maybe God forced you out your building to make sure you started going to the highways and byways and meet these kids on Twitter and Snapchat and Zoom with your...
I ain't talking about you no more. The problem with the church is the church is always behind the world when you're supposed to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the lender not the borrower. The problem is we don't do stuff until it's the last minute. We've been streaming when people didn't think it was popular to stream. Streaming from phones. Didn't even have it on cameras. You understand? Did all these different things. The only reason you're on the phone right now, Instagram, because they ain't got no way to put it on the camera right now. Zimmerman, I know you on IG now. Hurry up so we can put it on the camera so I ain't got to put my phone right here. Is it Zimmerman or Zuckerberg? Zuckerberg. Yeah, him. The white dude that started Facebook. You bought IG. I need IG to be able to be on the camera like everything else. I do appreciate you. I know you hear everything we say because you ain't got nothing else to do. Thank you. So this is what I'm saying. I need the church to walk in the authority it's supposed to walk in and start discerning the times and stop letting people push back. You know what I like? It's amazing. I'm going to just say this. So many pastors go around and say, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to tell y'all that when I leave. I don't want to throw no shade out here on no sermon. But what I need you all to know is this. I need more pastors need to start walking in the apostolic anointing whether you're an apostle or not. Because you got to start trailblazing. You need to start doing some unorthodox things to make sure that we're able to save this generation from the world. You just heard a governor talk about God ain't did nothing. The church didn't do nothing because, you know, people been praying. And I don't care what you say. If one nobody praying, everybody still be dying, period. Some people still dying, but if the church wasn't praying, if certain churches weren't standing up and doing, because some people even bold enough, some people still going to church in the building. And even if they're not going, some people are still making sure that they pray and call on God. Because until we humble ourselves, now we say we one nation under God. Stop mocking God if you ain't. Stop having me swear on the Bible if you don't believe in it. Stop it. Stop mocking God. Because God would rather you be with him or against him. He respects you more than if you're trying to be on both sides of the fence. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to sit down. It's funny when I say that. I really don't know what I'm going to say. But I need to talk to you for a minute, for 1 second. This is what I need you to understand. We're in a time where people don't understand it, and when people say it on my Facebook, when they say it respectable, I don't really say anything or argue with them about it, and they say it's not the church against the world and the system. It is. The same way it says that the flesh will never get along with the spirit, the world will never get along with the church or the kingdom-minded people. Because, see, you looking at world like he talking about the earth. No, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. He said you will go against the world. World comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means the order or the arrangement of things, where we get cosmetology from. It's the devil can make you look a certain way, make circumstances look a certain way. Now, I'm not saying the coronavirus is not real. It's very real. I wear my mask when I go to the store. I got my gloves on and things of that nature. When I come in here, I can't do all that because I got to do spiritual business. You understand? But what I'm telling you is this. I know it's real, but this is what I need you to walk in faith and not fear. Be cautious, but stop walking in fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. It's not that I'm not serious. It's not that I don't believe that the virus is real. It's just I believe I'm going to die when I'm supposed to die regardless. And I'm not going to sit up here and let a coronavirus keep me from spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. We have it on stream. Some people come in their cars. They sit in the parking lot. We give people choices. We don't let anybody in the building anymore. But at the end of the day, we're going to make sure that we assemble. They stay in the cars because we understand that one can set 1,000 flight and two can set 10,000. And there's an entity that's curated when you fellowship. And even if you in your cars because you're respecting what's going on with God, God is obligated to do something. I'm not saying you can't pray at your house. You get with your mom and your dad and your cousin, everybody. I'm not saying that. But what I'm telling you is there's a position that God has asked each pastor to take. Maybe not the same position as mine, but I need everybody to play their position. Because when you play your position, the healing of the land begins to come quicker. When my people, God says, who are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, turn away from their wicked ways, I heal their land. In the name of Jesus, I pray right now that you heal our land, that you show us, Lord, exactly what we need to do to honor you. And we, Lord, begin to take control over COVID-19. We pray for a healing in the land, and we do whatever it is you instruct us to do. We love you, God. We don't walk in fear, but we do walk in caution. We try to obey the laws of the land as long as they don't negate any kingdom or spiritual law. We shall walk in agreement with those. Unless they clash against your kingdom law, Lord, we will be law-abiding citizens. But anytime something is passed that goes against your kingdom principles, we shall stand in the name of Jesus. We love you, God. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.